Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. I'd like to thank ReTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a holiday many anticipate because everyone likes a good meal with family and friends. I hear that is not exactly how the holiday got started. It's that time of the year when we get over a table full of our favorite foods and hopefully our favorite people. Those we hold most dear to us, who are near to us, are present on this day when we thank the Creator for the foods of the harvest now upon the table. For the record, every day is a day to be thankful for, whether you are having a feast or wishing you are at one. From SymbolsAge.com, the origin of Thanksgiving, a brief history. Thanksgiving is an American federal holiday celebrated on the last Thursday in November. It began as an autumn harvest festival organized by the English colonists of Plymouth, known also as the Pilgrims. Y'all know that story, right? Plymouth Rock, right? Held first as a way to thank God for the harvest, this celebration eventually became secularized, right? I guess that means commercialized. So, however, the core tradition of this festivity, the Thanksgiving dinner, has remained consistent over the time. So, you must pay attention to what I just said, because that's one, I guess that's one story about the origin of Thanksgiving, right? The Pilgrims, good guys that they were, lucky to be here after traveling so far and surviving the wilderness of the new world, right? Had survived, and hey, they were thanking God, hey, thank God we made it, right? Over some breaking bread, right? Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? So the Pilgrim's Journey, the beginning of the 17th century, the persecution of religious dissidents had led a group of separatist Puritans to flee from England to Holland in the Netherlands. Puritans were Christian protesters interested in purifying the Church of England from traditions that resembled those of the Catholic Church, while separatists advocated for a more drastic change. They thought that their congregation should be autonomous from the influence of the state Church of England. The church was very powerful back then, right? Y'all seen the Three Musketeers, right? You can see how powerful the church is interpreted in that movie. Led by the search for religious autonomy, right? We don't want to be with y'all. We ain't down with y'all no more, right? Breaking away, right? Doing our own thing, right? 102 English separatists, both men and women, crossed the Atlantic on the Mayflower to settle on the east coast of New England in 1620. That's how bad they wanted to get away from the church. The Pilgrims arrived at their destination on November 11th, but decided to spend winter aboard the ship as they didn't have enough time to build, you know, housing, right, for the winter, right? So, because it's cold up there, right? By the time the snow had melted away, at least half of the Pilgrims had died, mainly due to exposure and scurvy. So they got sick and died. You might think, what harm could a few religious pilgrims cause? Some people say you should learn from the experiences and suffering of others. You don't have to go through hell to know that you don't want to be there. Because this wasn't a first-time event. Alliance with the Native Americans, right? In 1621, the Pilgrims founded the colony of Plymouth, Plymouth Rock. That's the way we know it. They call it just Plymouth on here. We call it Plymouth Rock, like Malcolm X. However, the task of settling in turned out to be difficult for them, right? So in a moment of most need, right, they were starving, right? What happened was this, they came in contact with the guy, the Indian, the Native American called Squanto. That's the guy you know from the movies, right? His real name was Tisquantum, something like that. He's from the Patois tribe, right? P-A-T-U-X-E-T. So he was basically helped them survive, right? He was the last surviving Patois, who had they survived an outbreak of disease brought by European and English invasion previously. So Squanto was the last survivor of a tribe of Native Americans who had survived an outbreak of disease brought by European and English invasions, right? Yet, he came to help the newcomers. Why would the last surviving member of a tribe decimated by a disease contracted from European colonizers risk interacting with those same Europeans? That was my question. Because I was like, what's wrong with Squanto? Squanto. Because I'd be like scared of Europeans after seeing all of that. But maybe maybe they didn't make the connection, or maybe they gave it another reason why it was happening. I don't know. Squanto apparently had interactions with the English in the past. He had been taken to Europe by English explorer Thomas Hunt. He was sold into slavery, but managed to learn English and eventually returned to what they call the New World, right? That was over here, right? U.S., North America, and stuff like that, right? His tribe had been wiped out by an epidemic, probably smallpox, right? Squanto then went to live with the Wampanoags, right? Another native tribe. Squanto taught the pilgrims how and what to cultivate on American soil, plant. He taught them how to farm, right? What to farm, right? When, where, and how, right? He also took up the role of liaison between the English settlers and the Massasoit, the chief of the Wampanoag and Massasoit, the chief of the Wampanoags, right? That's very important because you always need that gatekeeper, right? So he's basically a Native American gatekeeper, right? Thanks to this mediation, the colonists of Plymouth were able to establish good relations with the local tribes. Ultimately, it was the possibility of trading such as food and medicine with the Wampanoans that allowed the pilgrims to survive. So trade flourished, right? To the point that the settlers, colonizers were able to survive, right? In October 1621, the pilgrims celebrated an autumn harvest festival to thank God for their festival, for their survival, right? This event lasted for 3 days. It was attended by, they say, 90 Wampanoans and 53 pilgrims. It was considered the first American Thanksgiving. The celebration set the precedent for a tradition that lasts, you know, up until the day, right? That's what they say, right? That's kind of like what I said previously, right? For many scholars, the invitation to join the first American Thanksgiving feast was made to the Wampanoans as a show of goodwill that the pilgrims held toward their native allies, right? Hey, come eat with us. Like, go eat. Somebody invites you to their house up there on their land and eat. That's a sign of goodwill, usually. We know sometimes not. The most famous supper is the Last Supper. And we know what happened to the brother that was the head net, right? So, anyway. In the present, Thanksgiving is still regarded among Americans as the time for sharing, putting differences aside, and reconciling, right? Hey, whatever your problem, you got somebody, you know, y'all breaking bread now, it's over, right? Although, this is the version of events that most are familiar with, they say, right? That's the one I'm familiar with. Pilgrims came, you know, since elementary school, right? They came here, they settled, they almost died. Squanto saved them, and they had a little party. Thank God, right? On top of that, right? Anyway, they go on to say there's no evidence that the an invitation was extended to the natives. Dorian said that the Wampanoans had appeared uninvited as they heard the sound of gunshots as the pilgrims were celebrating and shooting the guns in the air, right? Pa-paw, right? So they said Christine Nobis says, one of the most celebrated mythologies is the holiday of Thanksgiving, which is believed since 1621 to be a mutually sanctioned gathering of Indians and pilgrims. The truth is far from the myth of popular imagination, from the myth of popular imagination. So they said the truth is far from that. Far from the eating bread, breaking bread together. They said the real story is one where settler vigilantes unyieldingly pushed themselves into Native American homelands and forced an uneasy gathering upon locals. That's new to me. I never heard this story. I just recently heard. Forced, like, what? Anyway. Has there always existed only one Thanksgiving Day? They say no. This wasn't even the first one, Thanksgiving. There have been many Thanksgiving celebrations throughout history. According to historical records, setting apart days to thank God for one's blessing was a common tradition among the European religious community that came to America. It said the first Thanksgiving ceremony celebrated in what was currently considered U.S. territory were conducted by the Spaniards. By the time the pilgrims had settled in Plymouth, the colonists of Jamestown, the first permanent English settlement, right? Jamestown, New England, right? Had already been celebrating Thanksgiving days for more than a decade. That's 10 years, right? So Thanksgiving, right? Been celebrated for at least 10 years, right? A decade, right? Nonetheless, none of the previous Thanksgiving celebrations would get to become as ironic as the one held by the pilgrims. I don't know why. That's just the way it's so, right? It's the way it went down, right? The different dates of Thanksgiving across time, right? After the first Thanksgiving celebrated in 1621, I'm not saying it's the first. They're saying it's the first because I know I'm contradicting myself, but because it wasn't the first, right, according to the information. Got it? All right. In 1789, compelled the U.S. Congress, President George Washington declared November 26th as a public Thanksgiving. So Thomas Jefferson preferred not to observe the festivity. Subsequent presidents reinstated Thanksgiving as a national holiday, but the date for its celebration varied. So they kept playing with this year, right? 1863, the President Abraham Lincoln passed a law to make Thanksgiving a holiday celebrated on the last Thursday of November. That's what we got now, right? 1870, Ulysses S. Grant signed a bill to make Thanksgiving a federal holiday. This is no work, right? It helped spread Thanksgiving tradition among the different communities of immigrants that were scattered throughout the U.S., especially the ones that are arriving during the late 19th century and the early 20th century, right? In 1939, President Franklin E. Roosevelt passed a resolution to celebrate Thanksgiving 1 week earlier. I guess that was to his convenience. I don't know. I'm just throwing that in. I don't know what happened. The holiday was observed on this date for 2 years. They did that between when it went back to the former date due to controversy that the change had caused among the U.S. population, which I guess that would cause a lot of controversy, right? Ultimately, by act of Congress, from 1942 on, Thanksgiving was celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. Currently, changing the date of this holiday is no longer a presidential obligation, duty. He don't have authority to do that, so right? Activities associated with Thanksgiving. Oh, he might have authority, but that's not what he's that's not a prerogative for him. Like, anyway, he don't want to mess with that. And he's a fool if he becomes president and he's messing around with the date of a holiday. Anyway, activities associated with Thanksgiving. All right, so we know, right? We got the we get the table, the traditional dish of the roasted turkey, a whole lot of turkeys. Ooh, man, suck to be a turkey in November, right? So, as I say, we spend time with families and friends. Some people prefer to dedicate themselves to alleviate the burdens of the less fortunate on Thanksgiving. They have charitable events. Some people give out turkey. Some people give out meals to the homeless and stuff like that. Go to shelters, share food with the poor, you know, just helping people out, right? And this is good. This is good stuff. And I'm not suggesting that people not do stuff like this and not eat together and bury that, you know, that the hatchet, you know. It's always good to bury the hatchet. We could use a lot of buried hatchets in the community right now all over the United States and a lot of communities. Anyway, I don't want to get off the subject. They had the parades, Thanksgiving parades, you know, tracing back to the beginning of the 20th century. Other well-known Thanksgiving tradition is the turkey partner. They partner. They don't kill a bird. One gets partnered. Every year, the President of the United States pardons at least one turkey and sends it to a retirement farm. This act might be taken as a symbol of forgiveness and its necessity. He pardoned one turkey. Like turkey meat is in demand here. Anyway, traditional all foods, mashed potatoes, gravy, sweet potato, casserole, green beans, turkey stuffed and corn, pumpkin pie. Who eats pumpkin pie? It's sweet potato pie. Well, this must be somebody else's list, but I'm going to keep going. Even though turkey tends to be the centerpiece of every Thanksgiving dinner, other birds such as duck, goose, pheasant, ostrich, partridge, and other options can be consumed. Well, you can eat what you want, basically, they're saying. Ah, okay. Regarding sweet foods, the list go on: cupcakes, carrot cake, cheesecake, chocolate chip cookies, ice cream, apple pie, Jell-O. Well, I'm gonna keep going. Fudge dinner rolls. Thanksgiving dinner contains most of the foods I just named, right? There are probably lots of wild birds such as turkey, geese, ducks, and swans, as well as deer and fish. Yeah, I see. I just started seeing fish at Thanksgiving. Vegetables would have included onions, spinach, carrots, cabbage, pumpkin, and corn. That's about right. In conclusion, Thanksgiving is an American federal holiday celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. This celebration commemorates the first autumn harvest festival organized by the Pilgrims in 1621, an event during which the English colonists of Plymouth Rock thanked God for all the favors granted them. During the 17th century, even before Thanksgiving ceremonies were popular amongst the religious European communities that came to the Americans, right? So, despite having started as a religious tradition throughout time, Thanksgiving has progressively become secularized, right? So it sounds like somebody's upset about money being made on Thanksgiving. Basically, celebrations consider time for putting aside differences, spending time with friends, family members. That sounds good to me, that part right there. Not forcing Native Americans to impromptu event. I never heard that story before, and I'm not saying it's true or false. I'm just saying I never heard it. But it's a whole lot of things I never heard. So you can't go by me, right? That's why I'm reading these different articles from other folks who have information to share. You can take it as the gospel truth or as a lie. Anywhere in between there if you want. Do your own research. That's what I always say. From Insider, the true story behind Thanksgiving is a bloody one. And some people say it's time to cancel the holiday. Can you believe that? But the holiday we see today is a beautiful thing. Everybody breaking bread together. Hopefully no one having any kind of animosity toward anybody. If you did, you end it up there at the before you get to the table. You thank the creator for the food, and everybody have a good time because everybody likes to eat. And you usually have everybody's favorite something there. Something that's going to be there you like. Man, I like everything. But it's enough there usually to your delight, right? And plus you can bring something there, right? Something you want there, you can just bring it. But this lady says Annie Kane and Joey Hayden updated this thing. They say it's a bloody one. And he ain't talking about the turkey being slaughtered. So anyway, American mythology holds that pilgrims and Indians united 400 years ago for the first Thanksgiving. But the peace didn't last. The settlers and their one-time allies were at war a generation later. So what's the generation? 40 years? To some, the holiday is only a reminder of oppression experienced by Native Americans. Okay, so some might be saying, hey, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Thanksgiving in the U.S. is traditionally a time for family and food. What are you talking about? Oppression experienced by Native Americans. Well, I know people probably wanted this already, though, because we know you got to look for a Native American nowadays, right? American school children typically learn the dates back to the Pilgrims who helped establish Plymouth Rock, the colony, in 1620, right? In Massachusetts. Story says friendly American Indian locals swooped in to teach the struggling colonists how to survive, right? And what the Europeans called the New World, right? Everyone got together to celebrate a feast in 1621. Like, what's wrong with that? Thanksgiving 2021 would mark the 400th anniversary of that, right? Of the first one, based on that. But as you see, they had more Thanksgivings before that, and you'll see what they were. But in reality, Thanksgiving feasts, some of them were. But in reality, Thanksgiving feasts predate Plymouth. And the peace celebrated that day was tenuous, they say. The real story behind the holiday is dark. In fact, some people are rethinking how they celebrate the holiday or whether they should at all. They're saying that Thanksgiving is a dark holiday, the origins of it. So what are they talking about? Settlers in Barclay 100 and now what is called Virginia celebrated their arrival with the Thanksgiving as far back as 1619, according to the National Geographic. Though the Washingtonian reported that the meal was probably little more than some oysters and ham thrown together. Decades before that, Spanish settlers, members of the Seloy tribe, broke bread in Florida with salted pork, garbanzo beans, I like garbanzo beans, and a mass in 1565, according to the National Park Service. Our modern definition of Thanksgiving revolves around eating turkey, but this was more of an occasion for religious at observance in past centuries, pilgrims would most likely consider their sober 1623 day of prayer the first actual Thanksgiving. The History of Massachusetts blog, right? Others pinpoint 1637 as the true origin of Thanksgiving, since the Massachusetts Bay Colony's governor, John Winthrop, declared a day to celebrate colonial soldiers who had just slaughtered hundreds of Pequot men, women, and children, those are Native Americans, in what is now Mystic, Connecticut. 1637, true origin of Thanksgiving. When John Winthrop, Massachusetts Bay Colony governor, right, declared a day to celebrate colonial soldiers who had just slaughtered hundreds of Pequot men, women, and children in Mystic, Connecticut. So that's the dark side that they're talking about. And Native American people are very upset with this celebration. Regardless of the popular telling of the initial harvest festival, is what lives on, right? Thanks to Abraham Lincoln, right? So the they had the little gathering, but the peace didn't last. The Massiot that went the Wampanoag Parliament chief, allied with the English settlers after Plymouth was established, and fought with the newcomers against the French and other local tribes. So the Wampanoag fought with the English settlers against other colonizers and Native Americans. So that's chaos. That's the definition of chaos right there. But the alliance became strained over time, right? As thousands more English colonists moved to Plymouth, taking over more land, authorities asserted control over most aspects of the Wampanoag life, right? According to the historic contact, Indian people and colonists in today's northeastern United States, a study published in the journal Quaternary Science Reviews estimates that disease had already reduced the New England indigenous population by 90% by 1620. The Wampanoag continued to die from what the colonists called Indian fever, an unknown disease brought by early European settlers. Which I'm trying to figure out, do they know that people are dying from a disease being transmitted to them by these European settlers, or do they think it is something else? Right, because they're calling it Indian fever. That kind of like takes the European, connection out of it. Anyway, I don't know if that's a modern term or if that's something that they related to back in the day. Anyway. Joined by H.L. Stevens, a Massiot meeting with Governor John Carver in front of the North American men. They had the jarn. Somebody made a jarn, right? I'm going to find a way to say it, and it's going to be them. You know what I'm saying? Massasoit. Son. Metric Comet became known to the English as men were executed for the murder of the Punkapoag interpreter and Christian convert John Sassaman, sparking the King Philip's War, right? The Wampanoag warriors responded with rage, and the New England Confederation of Colonies declared war in 1675. It was a bloody war, right? Well, most wars are bloody. And back in the day, you know, they had things that chop you up. So anyway, from another journal, an article published in the Historical Journal of Massachusetts, the Montclair State University professor Robert E. Cray Jr. said the death toll could have been up to 30% of the English population and half of the Native Americans in New England. The colonial assault on the Narragansett Fort in the Great Swamp Fight in December, so in 1675. So that was another battle they had. The Metacomet was beheaded and dismembered, according to it happened in Rhode Island, right? So the colonists impaled its head on a spike and displayed it for 25 years. The war was just one of the series of brutal but dimly remembered early conflicts between Native Americans and colonists in New England, New York, and Virginia. The holiday dark past has some people rethinking Thanksgiving, they said. So recently, renewed focus on racial justice in the United States has some people saying it's time to reevaluate the meaning and celebration of Thanksgiving. Teachers, professors, and Native Americans told the New York Times that they were rethinking of the holiday that has marginalized the U.S. violence and cruelty against Native Americans, given it names like Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving Massacre. Mm. That's what happens when you take something that was dark and turn it into something that's not dark. You know, a reflection on Thanksgiving, it's not new. According to the New York Post, American Indians of New England have been publicly mourning on Thanksgiving for decades. Did anybody know that? For decades. Anyway, Frank James and Aquina Wanapanoag activists who helped establish a National Day of Mourning in 1970 called the Wanapanoags welcoming of settlers perhaps our biggest mistake. You think? But I don't understand it because people had already been dying from, you know, interacting with these very same people. I don't understand it. Why are they so game to interact with people who, you know, are like oh, here come the leopards, you know? And I'm not calling the Europeans leopards, but if they had these diseases that were killing you, it seemed like you would stay away. What was the attraction? On the National Day of Mourning, Native Americans gather in Plymouth, Massachusetts for a day to for remembrance. Prayers and speeches take place accompanied by beating drums before participants march through the Plymouth History District. So they have a different relationship to that day than we about to have. Participants in the National Day of Mourning honor Native ancestors and the struggles of Native people to survive the day. The commemorating plaque says in part, it is a day for remembrance and spiritual connection, as well as a protest of the racism and oppression which Native Americans continue to experience. I thought, didn't somebody say there's no more racism in America? We have black president, we have these black mayors, we have black governors. Anyway, is Frank James suggesting that the Native Americans should have allowed the Europeans, pilgrims, colonizers to starve to death or even more exterminated them? Is he suggesting that the oppressed Europeans were in fact oppressors and aggressors? You know, the downtrodden were actually the aggressors? Were they the chosen horses, or as speaking with a forked tongue? Is that what he's saying? Did they have a diabolical plan to take over the world, especially after seeing about 90% of the Native American population die from disease that they had brought to the new world? Was it a plan or something? Because there's a reason why they happened. We're going to get into that a little later on. Anyway, from the AfroLounge.com, Thanksgiving Day, Native American mass killings, right? And basically, they talked about how we're taught in elementary schools, Thanksgiving originated with the Pilgrims and the Indians sat down. Squanto had saved them, told them how to live. They sat down and ate. They was happy together, right? But no savage thing going on, all that stuff. Sit down and eat, my brother, from a different mother. Right, that it was all, you know, chilling. But what if someone told you that Thanksgiving is an official day the U.S. celebrates the survival of European invasion that resulted in the death of millions of Native Americans? So when the Europeans arrived to America, the Native Americans welcomed them. The Europeans grew in number and began to steal land. Now, we see things like that happen. People get their numbers up. Don't need you no more. The year 1637 marked the beginning of the Native American genocide, they say. Guns and disease was used to kill them off. The Europeans even gave them blankets as gifts. It's a smallpox. He's accusing the Europeans of biological warfare. I was reading something about if smallpox could be transmitted on a blanket or something. So I'm not sure if they are sure about that. They in the article I was reading that they said that it could or it couldn't be. But anyway, little did the Native Americans know that the blankets were filled with smallpox disease. But I think it's for the burner stuff. The Native Americans that remained was assimilated into white society, and the rest were placed on reservations, they say. An article, Thanksgiving, a Holocaust for Native Americans, says that Thanksgiving, that colonial Puritans, a group of religious fundamentalist practice, was originally thanking God for the slaughter of Native Americans by colonial swords and diseases. There were many such Thanksgivings, they said. Now that's wicked. If that's what it is, that being true, that's pretty wicked. You're actually thanking God for being able to slaughter people and give them a disease that kills them. People that help them. That's, I don't know. You can't get no more wicked than that. Well, I don't know. That's wicked. We'll just leave it at that. In 1837, a faction of Puritans occupied an area now known as Connecticut with the aid of British and Dutch colonial forces. In the pre-dawn hours, they slaughtered more than 700 adults and children of the Pequot tribe who had gathered for their annual green corn festival. The next morning, they said, the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony declared a day of Thanksgiving for the occupiers' murder of the native population. All right, so you're going to do your own research. But apparently, this thing about Thanksgiving, had quite a different origin than what we think it had. Not a peaceful origin at all. The first Thanksgiving feast between Pilgrims and Native Americans was in 1621 when the Wanapak and 121 English colonists led by 28 Puritans that landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. So the numbers have changed. Everybody got a story, but the numbers and these stories not the same, except for they calling this 1621, this thing at Plymouth Rock, the first one, which as I just read, it's not the first one. Anyway, Squanto, Somerset, and Setchem Massiot tribes, Massiot were the only Native Americans invited. Oh, one, two, three. That's only three. There's only three Native Americans invited. They brought 90 tribe people and most of the food. Squanto and Somerset taught the colonists how to hunt fish and grow crops. The colonists eventually killed off the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag, right? They eventually killed them off. So they did more than they bit the hand that feed them, that fed them. They actually ate the hand and the arm. And looking at it in terms of being an animal, they did more than bite the hand that fed them. They ate the whole man, so the whole tribe. They devoured them. After colonists' victory against the Wampanoag, right, they declared a day of public thanksgiving for the beginning of revenge upon the enemy. That's very sad. It's diabolical and it's wicked. A documentary titled The True Meaning of Thanksgiving, y'all can check that out, reveals that Thanksgiving dinner was held after every successful massacre. A documentary titled The True Meaning of Thanksgiving reveals that Thanksgiving dinner was held after every successful massacre. That's crazy. We have a call. I mean, that's some crazy stuff. Is this real?
Hey, my name is John. I love talking about Thanksgiving. Please let me join this conversation. To talk about Thanksgiving, you have to, I think you have to look at history in terms of, it's not about who's right or wrong, but in terms about who wins, right? So when the Europeans took over America, they didn't do what's right, but they won. And most of history is done like this. For us to have become apes, the animals, for us to become humans, the animals that tried to eat us when we were apes or fish or whatever, they lost. Therefore, we fought them and we won. And that's why we're surviving right now. Now, when the Europeans came here and they did that to the Indians, it was bad. As a civilized society right now, looking back, it was bad. But at the time, it was something that needed to be done. I hate to say that, but that's true. But the lesson that I've learned from Thanksgiving is not to trust everybody.
Mm.
Because the reality is the devil goes to church and not everybody is your friend. You understand what I mean? You have to look at Thanksgiving like a lesson. Be careful who's at your table and eating with you. That's for sure.
Mm.
That's for sure.
Oh. So you're saying you should learn through other people's mistakes.
That's basically it. Yeah, you should learn from people's mistakes. But definitely that's how history was written, by the winners, not by who done right or wrong. When they were making history, they never said, you know, is this a right thing or a wrong thing? They just did. And that's how we have our society right now.
Right.
It's basically how it's done. I hate to say it, but it's the reality of it. But learn from the history. Be careful who's at your table eating with you. You know, I question my friends now because of what my knowledge of Thanksgiving. I mean, when the Europeans, they, like how you were saying, they were friendly with these Indians. They sat at the table with my brother from a different mother, that type of stuff.
Right.
But at the end, not too much longer, they just overtook them. A lot of the Indians were actually captured and made into slaves, brought back to England, and forced to work over there. And right. the ones that were in the United States were forced to mine gold for them. It was just a terrible atrocity that they did. But if you really think about it, what's the greatest country right now that time is planning? It's the USA.
The most
There's
powerful.
No country that can...
Right.
Yeah, the most powerful. Not in terms of, like, righteousness or anything. This country is so corrupt. I agree with you on that. But in terms of the most powerful country, the most powerful country right now is the U.S. Take, for example, the U.S. dollar itself. I mean, if in America, if you go to Mexico and you bring the pesos here, can you spend it? No, right? It's hard to even go to the bank and convert that money into, like, U.S. dollars. But if you go to Mexico with a U.S. dollar, they'll take it. You can go to, like, Africa and use the U.S. dollar. You can go to Australia and use the U.S. dollar, and it's okay. Every bank accepts it. That's how powerful this country is.
Right.
The language that every country is trying, that is forcing people to learn, is not Spanish, not Japanese, not French. It's English. It's the American language. That's how powerful this country is. Yeah,
well,
I hate
power.
To say stuff like this. Yeah, that is power. But it came out of some serious wickedness. Do you understand what I mean? It came out of
right.
serious
right.
If you look at history, like in terms of Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into debate whether the Bible's real or not, but in terms of the
right.
Bible, saying Moses. Now, when Moses freed the Hebrews, right, from
right.
The Egyptian power, God told Moses to do. He told Moses and his people to take the land from the Hittites, to go there
right.
and kill them and take the land from the Hittites. And
right.
Moses, we're slaves. We're not going to do this. So what did God do? He punched them and made them walk in a circle for 40 years. So eventually they hit all the older people died, and the younger people started becoming like more
right.
militant towards God. And when God said, go there and kill them, then they did it right away. But
right.
even God told them to do stuff like that. So is it right? I don't know what to say. Like, I question it. Should the Europeans have done that?
Well,
how about I ask you?
Not right. It's not right, but it like you said, if that had not happened, we wouldn't have this country. That's what you said, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. I get what you said. I heard what you said. And no, that's not right. It's like enslaving on those of the North American slave trade. That wasn't right either. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people died. Civil War wasn't right. That's a lot of people died during the Civil War. You know what I'm saying? So, no, that's not right. But we're not talking about right or wrong. We just, for this purpose, it's just, hey, here's the origin of Thanksgiving, one you never heard. And we apparently, the Native American people have been protesting this and using this as this date as a time of mourning, which I had no idea that they were doing that and that they felt so offended by this. You know what I'm saying? You know, but they don't have the power to really do anything about this here, you know, make the changes, you know. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to change Thanksgiving because the Native Americans are having a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's going
to
happen.
You have to question, like, who really wrote history? Is it right or wrong that wrote history? I don't think it's about who's right or wrong. I think it's about the winner. The winners write history. Like, when I went to school, I'm pretty sure they still teach it, that Hitler was a bad person. He killed, I think they're saying he killed now. When I went to school, they said that Hitler killed 3 million Jews. But I, for some reason, somebody told me it's 6 million now. That's a huge number. So they're saying 6 million Jews. Stalin, I think they say, killed 1 million of his own people. So you
right.
add those two numbers together, that's 7 million. And I'm going to add in Pol Pot. He's from Cambodia. I think he killed another 1 million of his own people too. And I'm going to add in the whole Rwanda genocide thing, which is like another couple of millions. Altogether, that's 10 million people from all these people. But 18 million Indians died to make this country. 18 million. That's how many Indians were murdered to make this country. But we were never taught that was bad. We were taught Hitler was bad. Stalin was bad. Pol Pot. And now
right.
I think they're teaching about the African genocide.
Right. So, well, you can't expect a person to write something bad about themselves, can you?
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. History is written by the winners.
Right.
That's how it is. Yeah. I mean, if Hitler had won, the whole World War II thing, I'm pretty sure he would have wrote history differently, how great the German Nazis were in unifying and creating this master race. Now everybody's super strong or whatever. That was his idea. You know?
Right. Putting everything in order. Yeah. That's what he would have been famous for. Restoring the order of the world.
That's right. It's sad, but it's the reality of life. You know, like I was watching this video on YouTube about this bear that went into somebody's farm and just choked this the pig on somebody's land, choked it, and was just torturing this pig. And he ate it. Can I say that the bear was wrong for doing that because it's not right to do something? The bear should have went to the store, supermarket, and bought something. The bear had to do that to survive.
Right. And that's kind of like his territory. Those guys are like settlers encroaching upon his territory. If he doesn't have fences, like the Native Americans, they don't have fences. So a bear, in some respect, is like a Native American. He doesn't have fences, but he has an area that he considers, within his territory, his territory.
That's right. So. Do you think the further back we go, the more less cultured we were? Like I'm entering my 40s, but when I talk to people in their 60s and 70s, they seem more violent. Definitely they're more racist. Like, well, when I say more racist, I mean the way they openly talk about, like, things, you know, like, oh, that black guy did that, or that Chinese person did that. You know, most Asian people are like, yeah, white people are like that. They stereotype nothing. Like, they don't think. Like, we live in a culture right now where we can't say certain things, but the older the people are. People that were 200 years old that were still alive right now, and I talk to them, I'm pretty sure they would even talk worse than that. You know.
You ever seen a police report?
No. Why?
Well, they talk about those type. They have those type. I mean, they ask you that if you had to talk to a police officer, somebody robs you, they want you to give a description. So it helps to say Asian. It helps to say black. It helps to say Caucasian. You know what I'm saying? All that helps in just describing somebody. It may not have been a Caucasian. It might have been an Asian. You thought it was a Caucasian. You know what I'm saying? It might have been a Caucasian that you thought was an Asian. You don't know. But the best of your knowledge, you're describing these people. It may be black, but he might have been Jamaican. He might have been African. You know what I'm saying? We don't know where people are from, but these descriptions help identify people. So when you say a white person did it, nothing wrong with that. It's a description and that we're all familiar with. So it's a terminology that we use to describe people and works. It's on your application. It's on a lot of paperwork that we have floating around. Native American, what are you? You know, Latino, white, white, Latino. They have all those terms they have on paperwork. So it's embedded in the society. I don't know who's using what terms, but I know a person that said they don't see color is blind, because you don't see color. How can you not see color? You know what I'm saying? You see color because color is a color. Unless you're colorblind, you can see color. So if you want to say you don't hate people because of the color of their skin, say that. Don't say you don't see color. That makes no sense. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, if you don't hate people, then you don't hate people. You don't care what their religious background is, what their ethnicity is, or anything like that. You don't feel that way about people. So say that. Don't say you don't see color, because that's not being truthful. You do see color. I've heard people say that. And you know, if somebody's white, they white. They, you know, but you know, within within white people, They have we call white people Caucasians, Europeans. Even though if you want to dig back in history, you're going to find some melanated people in Europe. You understand what I'm saying? But for the record, when we say that, we know what we're relating to when we say white. We're talking basically about European people. You know what I'm saying? You're not speaking about a Chinese guy. So, I mean, those are the terminologies that we have become very familiar with, and it's ingrained in our. So I don't know what other countries have, you know, and did the descriptions of people, but I know here, you know, if you get somebody just knocked you in the head, if he was black and you don't say that he was black, you just help that guy melt into the crowd. You understand what I'm saying? Same thing if no matter what he was, he's white, whatever. You know, if he had a black coat on, you know, he could say that. You should be able to say, oh, he was a black guy. You don't know if he was Jamaican, African, or French. You don't know what he was. But once you say he was black, it identifies. So they go by all the white guys. Then they know not to stop the white guys if they ain't looking for a white guy. They ain't looking for an Asian. Right? So, you know, it makes sense. It's logical. And it's something that's functional. You know, so, you know, and we're not past this whole black and white or whatever race thing you are in America by a long shot. You know, we had a black president and that's all that was. That doesn't mean that racism is the axe is buried. You know, as you can see, there's some places people know not to go, you know, because of the energy there, you know. We don't go there, and you know, it's not just – that's just in terms of race. We don't go certain places. But the energy there is, you know, against you. So, you know, they had those – when it's sundown towns and all that kind of stuff, you know. So you got to know where you are and keep it real, you know. And we're not there, you know. And we are a little better than we were, but we're not where we want to be. And we want to be in that place where it doesn't matter who you are, but we're not. You know what I'm saying? We still have, like, these guys here, these Native American people, they're offended by Thanksgiving. Basically, that's what they're saying. It's that we take offense to this holiday, and we refuse to celebrate it as a joyous holiday. And for the most part, most of us, myself included, was raised on this holiday, being like, hey, let's go. We get this food together. We're going to sit down and eat, and, you know, people gonna come over you ain't seen in a while, you know. It's a joyful moment, even, you know, regardless of the, what the pilgrims did. I mean, it's a, you know, it's just a good day, you know. One of the best days of the year. Yeah. Everybody's sitting down, eating your favorite food, you know, and doing whatever people do, you know, whatever they have at the celebration, you know. So, you know, games, yeah, and, you know, whatever they do.
I think you bring up a really good point here, like, I mean, the way you look at it, and I kind of look at it in the same way where it's a holiday, almost like a Christmas, you know? Yeah, the two great biggest holidays, I think, for most Americans, it's Christmas and Thanksgiving. You can make an argument for New Year's, and I don't really think Easter is that big of a deal, but so the point that you brought up a really good point there. Should we forget history sometimes and just let it go? Should the Indians just let go and say, you know what, that happened in the past? You know, let's just forget about the past and let's just jump and join the rest of the world in celebrating this day.
I think the Indians are saying we don't know history. We don't know the history. That's why I'm doing this today, because it's not that the forgetting part. We don't even have the information to forget. Now, how many people know this, what I just said tonight? You know what I'm saying? So we forget, you know, they should never forget. Nobody wants the Jews to forget. Nobody's telling them forget about World War II, right? And Hitler, right?
Yeah. So the problem sometimes is if you don't forget, you hold on to it. And like you said, the Indians are holding on to it, and they won't jump in and celebrate. It's causing a division almost between the Indian race and the American race now.
Yeah, right. I'm mad at them.
They're holding on to it.
Yeah, I'm not mad at them. I understand what they're doing, and I'm not mad with them. But I'm saying that the people are celebrating Thanksgiving, not even in relationship to the pilgrims. You understand what I'm saying? They're just doing that to get with the family. You know what I'm saying? That's how. It's not even about pilgrims. It's never been about pilgrims in my life. You understand what I'm saying? Thanksgiving has never been about pilgrims. They may evolve from this thing about they talk about Plymouth Rock. And whether it was a good or bad thing, as you say. But as I was reared on Thanksgiving, it was about us getting together as a family. You know, it has nothing to do with the origin. You know what I'm saying? It's just a day we break bread together as a family and we gather and we thank the Creator for all the food. And we try to have a good time. You know what I'm saying? So it's not even about Plymouth Rock. Nobody cares about Plymouth Rock and the pilgrims and nothing like that. That's not a part of our family tradition. I wasn't raised on all the – nobody mentions the pilgrims. You understand what I'm saying? Even if they said the story was true without all the blood and murder and stuff like that, they don't get a mention. It's just we getting together, breaking bread together as a family, and we glad to see each other. And we are going to feed each other and have a good time and go back to where we came from. Because you got to go at the end of the day.
I remember when I was younger, and yeah, I agree with you. I remember when we were younger and on Thanksgiving, my aunt made so much food, and it was just a few of us in comparison to how much food she made. And over time, what Thanksgiving meant to me was be thankful for the abundance that we have now. It's not every day, but this is just showing you we're in abundance. But she didn't make a little bit, just barely enough for everybody. She made more than enough to show that, you know, that we're thankful for having so much. And if the Indians are angry, I agree with what you say. I felt the same. I never thought about pilgrims. Like on Halloween, I would wear a mask to go trick-or-treating. I'm dressed up like a ghost or something like that. But on Thanksgiving, I'm not dressed up like a pilgrim. I'm just celebrating the abundance that my aunt has showed us that we had. So right. For the Indians I think the Indians need to understand that the majority of us Americans, when we celebrate Thanksgiving, it's not because of the pilgrims. We're celebrating because of the thankfulness of what we're celebrating, being thankful for having abundance on that day. We're not celebrating that this country was created or the pilgrims came here and then the Indians and then became friends on that day. I never celebrated because of that.
Right. And nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares about that. And if any Native Americans are hearing this, I'm just saying, in my family, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Right. It's kind of morphed away from this origin. You know, it's definitely not the origin that I just read. It's not about celebrating massacring anyone. That's where it came from, and that's where the insult comes in with the Native American, which I totally understand. I don't know what could happen about that, because I don't know how much power Native Americans have in this country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, what if they do have a lot of power and they take away this day as a holiday? Would you be mad?
No. Listen, it says no more Thanksgiving from this day forward because of the origin of Thanksgiving. Does that stop you from getting with your family and having a big meal?
I'll celebrate Christmas like that. Yeah.
That's right. Do you have to call it Thanksgiving? Huh? Every time you sit down and break bread with your family, you thank the, if you are a person, a believer, and you thank the Creator for the food, right? That's a tradition, right? I mean, in a sense, every day is Thanksgiving. You don't have to wait for the 24th of November to sit down and break bread with your peoples, right? And I advise many people not to do that. Don't wait for the last Thursday of the month. Don't wait for that to break bread with your people. 12 months in a year.
I'm okay. I'm okay with this. If the Indians want it, I said let them have it. You know, that's
I have no problem with it. That don't stop you from eating and getting with your family. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna join together all over food, which we like to do. You know, it's your birthday. Let's eat, right? It's a baby. Let's right. You get married. Let's eat, right? That's what we do. It's a holiday. Let's eat. So, you know, we're gonna get together and eat anyway. That's not gonna stop us from doing that. We're still thankful for the food. We're gonna do exactly the same thing. Thank the Creator for the food. We come together as a group. Somebody gonna lead the prayer, whatever how you do, or you know, light the candles or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna do it. People gonna do what they do, but it's, Thanksgiving is, you know, it's a sad thing that it evolved from such a hideous event or events. It's not even an event. This thing with the pilgrims was after a lot of things that have happened, just like that, you know. So it's not, you know, it's sad. And, you know, if they want to change that, somebody want to say, okay, we got to get rid of Thanksgiving. I'm good, because guess what? We still get together and eat anyway. You know what I'm saying? We still get together. I mean, it's no problem. So if it has done anything, it's taught Americans, hey, y'all need to at least once a year get with your family members and your loved ones, sit down and eat together, talk, and, you know, bury the axe and stuff like that. So if you're doing that once a year, what's wrong with that? You don't have to call it Thanksgiving. You can just call it a family gathering, which all it is anyway. You know what I mean? Never had nothing to do with pilgrims for me anyway, or of definitely not massacring nobody. So you don't need a holiday to eat with your family. I hope not anyway. Maybe some people do need that. I don't know. Let me take that back. I don't need a holiday. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for myself.
You know, talking to you about Thanksgiving makes me not want to celebrate it.
Well, you don't have to celebrate Thanksgiving. You can get with your family and eat. That's what I'm saying. You're not celebrating this thing with the pilgrims and bamboozling the tribe, the Native Americans. You're not about that. You're not about murdering people and mass murdering people, men, women, and children. We don't like that. We don't like it. But I'm gonna tell you one reality. You say that this country was born out of that.
And
so what do you not pledge allegiance to the flag? Do you not stand up to the flag? Because this country was born out of mass murdering people. Lots of murder. Lots of slaughter. That's another story. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even said that. That's another story.
No,
that's another
right.
Show right there. But you know,
you're
don't
right
let
doing
it,
all that.
Yeah, don't let it we shouldn't be worried about a holiday. You know, that's just the way that they indoctrinate you to do something on a particular day. You don't have to wait for that. Same thing as Christmas. Why wait till the 25th to buy your kid a gift? That means he can't get nothing in September? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense. You got to wait till the 20th. I got to wait till the 25th, Dad? Yeah, you got to wait till Christmas. got 6 months to go. That don't make sense. You know, you can buy, you know, those are just traditions when everybody doing the same thing, you know. So, you know, don't read too much into these holidays. As I say, they're very secular anyway, you know. So, but, I mean, we live in a capitalist society. Everything is secular. Everything is you know, you can make money off of everything. The church had to pay for those crosses, right, and those stained glass windows, right? What are you going to do? Somebody had to build that church, that building. Everything costs money. That's just where we are now. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's a reality, yep. The reality is the reality, and we should accept that. You know what I'm saying? Accept the reality, you know. like you said, the writers of history, right? His story, what they call it, his story, history, right? They wrote it to their favor. We can't expect them to write something. Hey, yeah, we killed all of these women and children. You expect somebody to write that? In the history books and teach it to all the kids? That's a horror. You're going to traumatize a whole nation of children, right? Can't expect a person to write that.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, knowing history is good enough, but do not hold on to it. Do not hold on to history. If anything, hold on to the present right now. Whatever atrocities you see right now, argue those right now. Don't hold on to the pain,
you're saying, right? Don't hold on to the animosity and stuff like that, right? You know, but right now the reality is this is a trigger for Native Americans. You know what I'm saying? Because it hasn't been addressed. So you gotta you have to deal with people where they are, not where you want them to be. And they are, this is a trigger for them. And I understand it. Just like the Jews that have a trigger with a swastika. They come to somewhere and they see that. They have a problem with that, even though that's not even a German symbol originally. So, but it's a trigger for them, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Well, if any Indians are listening, my name is John. You can have this day. I don't really need it. It was made a holiday and we were told that we should celebrate it a certain way, so that's why my family does it. But if you want it back, because it brings you so much pain, you could have it. I don't really need it. And I agree with the host on this. I mean, I celebrate with my family normally. Like, we hang out together normally. I mean,
right.
It's just the holiday. We just get together and eat a little bit more.
Right.
Actually, we just eat turkey. That's all. We eat a lot every time we get together. It's just, on Thanksgiving, we eat turkey. That's about it.
Right. And guess what? Is turkey available 12 months of the year? Right. Everything you eat at Thanksgiving is available every month of the year. We can live without Thanksgiving. We got a lot more problems to worry about than whether or not we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. There's way too many problems going on right now.
Yeah, we got too much to worry about than worry about that. We can break bread anytime we want. If you want to have a national holiday.
I'd rather break bread. I'd rather break bread with an Indian right now than break bread with my family in honor of the Indians in the past. I'll tell you the truth. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, having a dinner with an actual Indian person. You know what I mean?
That might be possible. That's probably possible. Just don't do it on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, any day.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. I enjoyed talking to you, all right?
All right, brother. Thanks for calling.
Yep, thanks. Peace.
Thank you. Peace out. Okay, so, you know, I hope I didn't trying to put a damper on anybody's holiday, but you know, they say the truth is the truth and the truth will set you free. So here's a little information. Do your own research. Make your own decision. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat on what's Thanksgiving next week? On the 24th? All I'm just saying is you should know about the origin of Thanksgiving. Now, I definitely feel you should know that. Because we can get together whenever we want. Nobody gets to tell us when to eat, when to gather as a family. We can do it. If we want to do it as a nation, we can create something like that, where it's just about family gathering, where nobody was murdered or slaughtered and people celebrated and called it Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is probably just in relationship to what they done in their church, and they applied it to slaughtering people. but it's not a good thing in terms of the holiday's origin, you know. So I still can't understand why Squanto and by any tribe would move, would be engaging to people who they, maybe they didn't know the disease was coming from them, because it doesn't make sense to me. But it actually happened, so. And what was I talking about? Another incident in 1637, in the early morning hours, angels and dust mercenaries surrounded the Pequot tribe. I talked about that, right? Women and children terrified. They told them to come outside and club or shot whoever came out. Women and children were terrified, stayed in long houses, and were burnt alive. So this is what the Native American people are upset about. It's victory and wow. And the church said, be thankful, right? So that's not good. So I don't know if the church was saying that or the guy representing the church here was saying that that was a good thing. I don't know. Could have been, could not have been. I didn't dig that deep in it. But, you know, stuff like that shouldn't happen to people. People don't deserve that. But 90% of the Native American population was decimated by disease. Basically, how that disease traveled, I was just going to talk about that, is because they talked about these populations that lived amongst livestock. Meant more interspecies exchange of a broader range of microbes. Animals and people died and became quite sick, but sustained contact gradually led to immunity to a comprehensive range of diseases, smallpox, the flu, influenza, measles, and other elements evolved from human and livestock interaction, right? So basically, if you live with these animals, you get exposed to the microbiome, right, relating to characteristics of a microorganism, especially a bacterium causing disease or fermentation. Exposure to these microbial organisms allows people to develop immunity. You might have heard people talking about that with this COVID thing, right? Some people are going to die and some people are going to develop an immunity, right? By the time some type of immunity, that's the theory. By the time the Europeans arrived, they had developed some immunity or enough that their population would not be decimated from infection. So that's what happened. That's why it decimated the Native Americans. They didn't have the opportunity to develop immunity because they lived differently, right? So we're running out of time, and I just want to in ending, I want to say, here we have a lesson in divide and conquer. Except the Native Americans were already divided or weakened by their own tribal warfare and self-hatred. Because you got to be hating somebody. You join with the newcomer to fight somebody you've been, I guess, been warring with for 100 years. So this sounds very familiar to me. Till this very day, this whole thing about self-hatred, killing oneself, and I'm not advocating killing of Europeans, but their self-hatred divided them, which made them weak, which made them fight amongst each other, which made them fight on the side of the people who were going to exterminate them. It doesn't make sense. All these tribal wars, bloodletting, reminded me so much of another group of people, and I hear they were here before Columbus too. Maybe we'll talk about them in relation to Columbus Day. After all, they came long before Columbus. Native Americans perceived their European expansion in North America as the decline of Native American civilization and the beginning of their subsequent extermination and confinement. Imagine a people who once occupied North America from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean, Canada and Mexico in great numbers. The lesson here is do unto others before they do unto you. Beware of those who come in peace and bring swift destruction. United you stand, divided you fall. Without unity, there is no you and me. The divided are soon to be devoured. But that, my friend, as the caller said, that, my friend, is history. And with that, I want to end the show. And I just want to thank everybody for calling in, anybody who's downloading the show tonight or any other time. Thank you very much. And everyone, please do your own research. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners and downloaders. Peace out, y'all. Don't be afraid of the truth or in search of the truth. Don't let anybody stop you from searching. Okay? Till next week. Peace.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.